Is he a good God? Is he a merciful God? He's all that and more. Well, it's come to the time. We sang, we praised, we've thrown our hands up, we shouted, and now it's time for the word. At this time, stand to your feet. Let us welcome the man of the hour, bringing God's holy word. If I could just tear him away from those drums. Our own Reverend Andre Drumgool, as he comes in his own way.
I don't have to stop giving them praise.
All right.
It's a new year. It's 2026. You know, I know it's somebody making funeral arrangements right now.
Talk.
It's somebody in the hospital right now.
All right.
It's somebody that don't have nothing to eat, don't have nowhere to stay, don't know what they're going to do right now.
That's right.
So we can't sit on God. We didn't have to be here.
Uh-huh.
I remember personally, just for myself, I remember worse of times than this. Yeah, I remember worse of times. I remember when the only thing I had to stand on was the word of God. Yeah, I remember sitting in that cage thinking one day I'm going to get out, and when I get out, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And then when it didn't work out, I blame God. But I remember every time God was there for me through every single thing. And in 2026, I didn't even think I would be here right now. Some of us probably shouldn't be here right now. But God don't make no mistakes. See, God will put you on the mission. Yeah, he don't make no mistakes. So in 2026, we want to give God the praise. We don't want to sit on it. I don't need no rocks crying out in my place. Yeah, I don't want no rocks crying out for me. You know what I mean? So when it comes to God, you know, when it comes to God and the Spirit of God, we have to be more serious. Yeah, we have to be more precise.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? Because there's precision in that word. There's laws. Just like we have physical laws, we have what they call spiritual laws.
Yeah, that's right.
And in order to activate those spiritual laws, you have to do it with precision.
That's right.
See, if we was going after anything else that we wanted, we'll plot, we'll plan, we'll do exactly what we need to do to execute.
All right.
And a lot of times we can't execute because we lack in precision.
All right.
Yeah, we lack precision. But I'm not going to hold you long. I don't want y'all just sitting up there standing up. I'm not going to hold you long. Everybody say that, but I'm serious this time. Yeah. So we're going to go to real fast, go to Genesis chapter 19. Genesis, we're going to start at 19. When you get there, say amen. If you need time, you know you can say wait. Starting at chapter 19, verse 19.
Amen. Right.
The book of Genesis, first book in the Bible. And it reads, "Behold, now thy servant has found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy with which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountains, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold, now this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape there. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said unto him, See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. Then the sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstones and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. You may be seated. Yeah. Yeah, the title of this is Don't Look Back. Yeah, Don't Look Back. Y'all knew I was coming. Yeah, Don't Look Back. Don't Look Back. When I think about that, Don't Look Back, it was a lot historically that was going on in that time, in that particular region, because they was merchants of salt. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that particular city, they sold salt. They was merchants of salt, and there was a lot going on. So give you a backdrop of it, it was two angels that walked into the city. When they walked into the city, they met Lot. He greeted them, and he met them. They came to destroy the city. So Lot was telling them, he said, man, if it's anybody in here that's righteous, will y'all spare it? All right. And the angels told him, yeah. So he took the angels in his house, and they say that they had dinner. Angels don't need food, for one. But I'm going to go back and give y'all that. But they end up having dinner with Lot. He say they broke bread. He broke bread with the angels. So the people in that region, they came over there, and they was knocking on Lot's door saying, bring the people, bring them out of there, because they wanted to sleep with the angels. It was everything under the sun going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, you name it, it was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. So the people, Lot's people was in the house with them, and the angels came, and they, the people told them, well, Lot, if you don't let them out, how you going to be a judge? We're going to do you worse than we was going to do them.
All right.
That's what they said. We're going to do you worse than we was going to do them. So the angels turned around. The guys began to knock on the door. So the angels opened the door and pulled Lot back in the door, because Lot was out there trying to explain to them.
Yeah.
So they pulled. When he pulled Lot back into the house, he explained to them that I'm a destroy. He said, well, I got a son. He said, do you have sons? Do you have daughters? Gather them up. He began to tell them to gather them up. So when the angels came in the house, they walked out, and he seen all the people out there, and the people were stricken blind. God struck the people blind that was trying to get into the house.
Yeah.
So they began to be confused. They couldn't see, so they started knocking on other people's door. Yeah, the people, they wanted to sleep with the angels. God struck them blind. They began to knock on other people's door. So in knocking on the other people's door, Lot turned around. He come back out, and they walking with the angels, and the angels told him, he say, Lot, get out of here.
Yeah.
He said, I want you to flee unto the mountains. And Lot said, well, if I go that way, I may get destroyed. Something's going to happen to me if I go that way, but it's a little small town that I need to go to. If I can go there, I'm going to be all right. So the angel said, okay. So the Lot's wife came into play. When she came into play, she came, and Lot took his wife and his son-in-law and everybody, and they left the town, went to the place which is now known as Zoar. So Lot's wife turned around after all the commotion and all the confusion. Lot, he heard it in the background, because they said, don't look back. He heard it in the background, but Lot never looked back. But the wife, she was nosy.
Yeah.
I ain't saying all women are nosy, but Lot's wife was nosy. So when she heard what was going on, because it was like something that never happened before in that particular time, so she turned around and she looked back, and she turned into a pillar of salt.
Yeah,
that's the backdrop of the story. Now, to bring it home into what we have going on this time is don't look back. And I was looking for this last night in the response of reading. It say, do not remember the former things, nor consider things of old.
Yeah.
He say, behold, I will do a new thing.
Yeah.
Now it shall spring forth.
Yeah.
Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness
and
rivers in the desert.
Yeah.
So, saying that to say, I was searching for that last night.
All right.
Saying that to say this, God say, I will make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Some places that God sent us to go, we don't have no notion how we going to get there. Yeah, but God don't send you on a mission that he don't prepare you for. You see what I'm saying? But what we do is we get entrapped in the things of the past, the things the way we used to be, the things that we used to do, and God is telling us today, don't look back. You see what I'm saying? Sometimes I was talking to a friend yesterday. I got a lot of people that call me, and I talked to a lot of people, and he called me. He said, bro, he said, I'm working. He said, I work 2 weeks on, and I get 2 weeks paid, and I got to wait till the next week. That money ain't fast enough for me. I say, well, I do it too, you know.
Yeah.
I say, but I manage. I say, man, you got to keep your head in the game. I say, you lose your mind if you lose this up here.
Yeah.
I say, man, when you first got home, every morning you was quoting scriptures on Facebook. I say, you at the halfway house now, you at home, I ain't seen a single scripture. I say, what if that was the only thing I had to read?
All right.
You see what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
If that was the only thing you done got out. Now, he tell me, well, you already know I can do what I want to do as far as getting drugs and selling drugs. And he was the man. And I told him, I say, you know, when you stop putting God first, I say, what makes you think you got another chance?
All right.
You know, what makes you think if you go back out there, I say, you know, Leslie, the thing you worried about is jail. Well, I'll get locked up. But God will kill you.
Yeah,
he'll kill you. That's why I say, I know I can't do no drugs. I'll be one of them. I'll be the worst dope fiend ever. I would. I'm going to be one of the ones that's crazy, half crazy and everything, because God say don't look back.
Yeah.
See,
yeah.
We don't know when God had mercy on us, when God had that grace on us, we don't know. We can't go back. We think we can go back and pick that stuff up.
Yeah.
We can't go up there and pick that stuff up. God say don't look back. And it remind me of the children of Egypt when they was getting tired and they was getting God rained bread and everything down. And the children of Egypt, and they began to tell them, Abraham, them, they say, hey, we had cucumbers, we had lettuce, we had tomatoes in Egypt. It was things that was holding them bondage. And they become, and sometimes we become in bondage to stuff.
Yeah,
we allow stuff to dictate our relationship with God or people. But it was somebody that was praying.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? We had somebody that was praying. Even in Lot's situation, Lot was praying. It was some things going on. Lot was praying to where his house can be saved. Some of us is only making it and only here because of the prayer.
Right.
The prayer. And the Bible tells us the prayer of the righteous avail much. Yeah, because back then, the old folk like, remind me of Coach. Coach prayed with precision. You know, Coach got that holler, that, you know. Yeah, Coach be serious about it. See, we got to get serious about it.
Yeah.
See, it's times that we sit there, we want to pray God, and we want to look cute.
That's
and I see people, they doing this just to look cute, you know. But we God want that ugly pray. See, David got butthole naked. David got butt naked. He did. It's in the Bible. David got butt naked in the Bible. And the ladies begin to talk to him. They say, hey, you doing this. You showing out in front of these women. You showing out in front of these people. But then the ark had came back. And when that ark, David found out the ark was back, couldn't nobody stop his praise. You see what I'm saying? It was some things because David knew what it was to be separated. See, some of us forget what it is to be separated. You know, when we separated from God, we begin to romanticize those things that we used to have. Those things that we held in bondage, and we feel like it was better that way. I remember when I was in the streets, I had this, and then I'm doing right. I can't get this, and I can't get that. And I'm going to tell you something about them demons, them thoughts, them things that come in your head. See, we say, well, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. You can't cast out nothing that you're romancing. You understand what I'm saying? How we going to cast it out, and I'm entertaining it? Yeah, the devil at my house every day, and then on Sunday when I come to church, I want to rebuke it because it sounds good. You can't cast out what you romance.
Right.
Yeah, you can't. It's impossible. You know, in the Bible, when Paul was praying, he was praying and he did some things, and then the magician, they say, hey, I want to do that too.
Yeah.
And the demon told him, he say, hey, I know Paul.
Yeah.
He say, but I don't know you.
That's right.
What I'm saying? Yeah, but it's, and he was playing. He was playing. There's some things in our lives right now that's trying to hold us, to make us look back, to make us feel like there's some things that was better. There's nothing better than pleasing God. There's nothing better than understanding the laws of the Spirit and praying with precision that things will come to pass in your life that's going to edify God. God told you, he said, I'm going to make a road in the wilderness. Yeah. He said, I'm gonna make a river in the desert. Sometimes we don't even know. Look, we don't even know how we gonna. God just said go. God said go. And I'm looking at all the wilderness and the rivers, and I'm looking, well, God, how am I gonna get there? See, the thing is, when we get there, the thing God wants us to understand is that nobody could have got us there but him. You see what I'm saying? That's why he can do the impossible. God do the things that we can't even think about.
That's right.
We can't even understand what God do. And then it talks about the peace of God surpassing all understanding. And then people wonder why we can sit back and be chilling when a lot of things is going on. Because the peace of God, peace was written from the beginning. Yeah, in the beginning it was peace. You know what I mean? God spoke to peace. I'm going to take y'all. God spoke to peace. There was some things going on that ship. Yeah, and God spoke. It wasn't just that he was speaking to the water. He was speaking to peace. Yeah, he called it by name. You see what I'm saying? When that water got to going and then they got to stirring them. And Jesus was asleep. It's not like he didn't feel it. He woke up. He said, peace, be still. And then they began to ask questions. They say, who is this that the wind and the waves obey? But it was peace speaking to peace. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, it was peace speaking to peace. See, the peace was already there. God just wanted to identify that to the disciples. See, it was already there. Sometimes the miracle and the things that God want to bless us with, it's already there. God just want us to identify it by name. That's where the precision come in. Because you have to be able to identify. I remember I was in prison. My number was 113-2638. Never forget it. That was my, you can ask me again at the church. I'm going to tell you the same thing. 113-2638. Because I never forget it. You know what I mean? But by name, that was my name. You see what I'm saying? That was my name. When they called me, hey, rat time. You need to do this. Hey, what's your ID number? They identified me by that. Yes, you see what I'm saying? God got some things that they gonna, he going to identify in your life to where you're going to know with precision that that's what God wants you to do. Yes, that's where God wants you to go. That's what God wants you to say. Yes, see, you don't have to wonder about what's going on in our life because God going to give us that peace which he identified to the disciple. You see what I'm saying? We don't even know how we're going to get there. We don't know what it's going to take to get there, but God said go. And the only thing we need to be is obedient. You see what I'm saying? The Bible's talk about obedience being is more than sacrifice. Yeah, obedience is more than sacrifice. God don't care about you sacrificing the goat, pigs, or none of that. He don't need it because he already did it. You see what I'm saying? God, it was prophesied. When you go back, so when the kings, the three wise men, they was going to see Jesus. Jesus was a baby. They brought him gold. Back then, if you do the research in the Bible, gold was only brought to kings. Jesus was a baby. Gold was brought to kings. They brought him myrrh. They brought myrrh. Myrrh was for worship. It was for worship. And then they brought frankincense. Frankincense was what they put on dead people, you know, to hide the fragrance. So it was already prophesied. They came to pay homage to the king, with the gold. Then the myrrh, they turned around. It was about worship because when they seen them, they walked out. Then the resurrection. The death and the resurrection was the frankincense. You see what I'm saying? That was used for dead people. But if you go to the tomb right now, everybody that they talk about in that tomb is still laying there. You're going to see some bones, marrow, or whatever it might be, a little hair and everything. But if you go to where Jesus was, it's empty. You see what I'm saying? It's empty. You can take any religion, so-called religion, whatever you want to take it, a Buddha, you can do this, confusion. They dead. They dead. But Jesus is alive. He alive and well. You can't say he's not. I had a conversation with a guy. He was like, you believe we was at work? He say, Jesus is the Son of God. I say, true. So why do y'all say he is God? I say, he is God. Like, no, you ain't understanding. You crazy. I say, I am. I am, because I understand. I say, it's hard for people to understand if God didn't put that in your heart to understand, because many are called, few are chosen.
That's right.
You see what I'm saying? It's the only way you're going to... He told him in the Bible, Jesus told him, he say, Peter, he say, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you.
That's right.
It's some things that'll be revealed to you that I can't tell you. Rev can't tell you. Coach can't. Nobody. The only way it's going to be revealed to you is through God. God is going to put that revelation in your heart, and you're going to act on
it.
But when you act on it, there's principles that you got to be precise about. You see what I'm saying? You have to be precise. Jesus, they say, how do we pray? Jesus specifically told them, you should pray like this. He specifically, why did he do that? The reason why he did that was because you have to be precise. But you execute. It's 2026. Some of us went to the gym. Some of us didn't, but we had something in our mind that we wanted to be precise about, that we was willing to dedicate some time to, that we was willing to dedicate some effort to. You have to be just as much dedicated to the word of God as you are anything that's going to edify the flesh. I was on the phone yesterday. I was talking to my boy Gotti. He just got out of jail. He was trying to get a car, and I was messing with my Bible because I got a new Bible. I say, man, and it got big words in it. Yeah. It do. I needed the big word because them little bitty words, man, I'm getting old. But so I was telling him about the Bible. I say, man, you see? I say, man, that's for my best purchase of the day. He was like, the Bible? I say, yeah. I say, I was happy about the Bible. He was like, yeah, that's something else. But you, because I was actually happy because it had the little designs on it. He was like, yeah, that's clean. You know what I mean? He was like, yeah, that joker clean. He didn't say it like that, though. So I'm like, yeah, it's nice. I say, but the most important thing is what's inside of it.
Yeah.
That's right.
You see what I'm saying? The most important thing is what's inside of it. Like I said, I get a lot of phone calls, deal with a lot of people on a regular basis. And God allows us to see things, and he allowed me to understand things. You know, and I was going through something. I had hurt my back at work, and I was going through something. And this got to do with don't look back. And you know, I'm going to tell it on myself. I'm transparent because God wants you to know. You know, and they had gave me these little pills. They gave me the little pills, and as an ex-addict, mentally, you know, it triggered something.
Yeah.
And I told my wife, I say, this feels too good to be legal. Yeah, because I felt good. Yeah, I felt good. And then I ate another one. Went to work, and they like, don't do nothing. By the time I got to work, it wore off, so I got back to the house and ate another one. I ate another one. And I was talking to my wife, and I felt good, but I told her, I said, you know, and God quickened me on that situation. I didn't even know I was going backwards.
Come on now.
I didn't even know. Just that fast,
just
that fast, my mind had reverted back to what I used. But this time, it was justified.
Yeah. Okay.
You see what I'm saying? It was justified in my mind because anytime I'm wrong, I can justify it mentally
right.
For humans. Yes. But spiritually, God said, hey, what you doing? What you doing? But God is legal.
That's right.
What you doing? But God, they gave them to me. I don't have to worry about it in my UA. Yeah, I began to justify, but God say, hey, where you going back to?
Yeah,
where you going back to? See, the Spirit of God is important with that precision because God don't want us taking two steps forward and three steps back. If I do that every time, I'm not going to make it no further than this.
Come on.
All right.
I won't make it no further than this. But there's things in our life that'll hinder us, and it'll sneak in there. Like I said, you can't rebuke what you're romancing.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. If I'm sitting there, and you got to consider the mind frame of an addict. They have what they call tetrahydroisoquinoline. It's a chemical imbalance in the mind of an addict. You familiar with it because you the doctor? You know, she real smart, too. She know about that type of stuff. But as an addict, our brain don't work like the average person's brain. You see what I'm saying? In family, we identify that in another type of way. We identify it in the physical because we see our family, and physically, we know if they not eating. We know if they stand up late. We know physically, but we don't attach. Our focus is not on the mental. It's something going on up here, and we have to be able to identify that. You see what I'm saying? God will give you the spirit of identification to be able to identify that because, God, I don't want to go back, but these pills feel good to me. You know what I mean? But God say, hey, where are you going? It's a lot of people, whether they say it or not, that's battling with addiction. It's things that causing people to go backwards.
Yeah.
Things that feel good to us.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? When the Egyptians, they enslaved the Israelites. And the Israelites became so used to that bondage that it became normal.
Yeah.
See, sometimes we'll go through things in our life and bondage seems normal. Yeah, because our mind, see, it take a lot longer to identify a habit and break it than it do to just start it. See, you can start a habit in a day, and then you get used to it, and then it take a long time to cut that habit short. See, you identify bondage. Identify spiritual bondage. What is it that you're going through or that I'm going through that's going to cause me to look back? See, you have to identify bondage. See, what feel good to us is not always good for us. See, you'll fluctuate back because the devil got a way of trying to come into your mind and allow those thoughts. And once you process those thoughts, you begin to act on them. Once you begin to act on them, something have to happen because that's spiritual law. See, something have to happen. See, God say when you do this, this is going to surely happen. But if you do this, this is going to, something's going to happen.
Yeah.
See, and it might not happen when you think, but it's going to start affecting everything else around you,
yes,
all the people around you, the things in your life is going to start affecting one way or another.
Yes,
you see what I'm saying? But God, he give us a way out.
Yes,
see, he give us a way out through that man that died on that cross.
Yes.
Yeah, it was a man that was sitting back, man. He didn't even know no sin. He didn't have nothing going on in his life but us. He considered me. He considered me when I was out there on drugs. He considered me when I called myself a gangbanger. And then I ain't even tough. I cry in a drop of a dime talking about I'm a gangbanger. Yeah, I was like, man, yeah, God will humble you. Yeah, I realized that about myself. I say, man, something happened to somebody or I see somebody in there. I'm sitting there looking at my wife. She like, you all right? And I thought I was a gangster. I'm supposed to be. Yeah. I was like, boy, yeah, I ain't even tough. But God, yeah, God got a way of doing what he want to do. And it's a good thing. But once we start looking back and we start compromising, when you start compromising your faith, it gives you the ability to start going back. Because we walking, but we walking like this. Yeah, we walking like this. I can step. And I can take steps. I can take steps in place, but not go nowhere.
Yeah.
See, it's a difference from walking, and it's a difference from motion.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
See, I can step, but I'm not going nowhere because there's no motion.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You see what I'm saying? It's a cause and effect, and the end result is going to be that God is going to bless us when he make the road in the wilderness and the rivers in the desert.
Yes.
And I'm not going to be long. I'm going to sit down. Yes. But what I want you to know is this. Through Christ, you can do anything you want to do.
Yeah.
It's a new year.
Yeah.
It's a new year. The world haven't changed. The world haven't changed. But God is in you. See, God will change your mind. He'll change that vision. The first thing that happened to Samson, one of the things when they captured him, is that they put the sword in his eyes because they took his vision. See, the devil want to steal your vision. You see what I'm saying? If you know, without a vision, you're not going nowhere.
That's right.
Without a vision, the devil, they put the thing on his eyes, the sword, the hot sword, burned his eyes up and everything to where he couldn't see, because if he can see, he can navigate.
Yeah.
Some of us got to take them spiritual blinders off.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So that we can see, and God will give us the ability to navigate, because he said go. He didn't say walk in place.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We walk in place, we might be moving, but there's no motion.
Yeah, yeah,
it's a difference. See, God wants us to move, to progress. Jabez say, increase my territory. He say, oh, Lord, how I wish that thou would increase my territory.
Yeah, yeah.
We got to get our territory increased, but we have to plow the land that God gave us now.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? There's nothing God can do with us when we have stepping. So understand precision.
Yes, sir.
Understand that motivation that you have to do anything else. It's like you get a girlfriend. When you're younger, you get a girlfriend, you start combing your hair. My grandson, I say, when you start combing your hair? My grandson, yeah, he smell like $1,000 worth of cologne. Just got the bottle. Yeah, he into the girls and stuff. So I say, boy, come here. He was at the house. I say, come here. He come over there, and I smell him. Yeah, he got a bunch of cologne on. Like, he done dashed the whole bottle. I say, you got a girlfriend. Like, no, somebody I'm talking to. But you didn't do that at first. You used to be like a racehorse when he comes to the house. Now he smelling all good doing the hair. And that's the same thing with God. You know, when God, we get to romancing it. We first get in the word, we get in the scripture, we excited about it.
All right.
You see what I'm saying? And then it become a common thing so we can put the Bible down and just pick it up every now and then. But we forget what got him. Yeah, we forget to do what got him. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, so with God, anything is possible. And it's 2026. Everybody be blessed and understand. Get in this scripture.
Yes, yes.
Don't allow nothing to turn you back.
Yeah.
I give you that in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to a recent sermon from Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church. We pray that you have been blessed by the preaching of God's Word. Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church is located at 16813 Huffsmith Corville Road, Houston, Texas, 77070. Our Sunday worship services are held at 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m. with Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. Please come out and join us for worship, study, and fellowship, where our motto is, "We are the branch, but He is the vine."